Lord, it's time to hear from you again. Please speak, for your servants are listening. We open our hearts to you, and we ask, dear Lord, that you will reveal yourself to us. Dear Holy Spirit, we beseech you, if you don't reveal yourself, no one can reveal you. So please reveal yourself in a very special way to everyone who is watching, who is listening today. Thank you, precious Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing with our series on the Holy Spirit, which we have themed, "Thank You, Holy Spirit." And this is the sixth part. And we started last Tuesday on the roles of the Holy Spirit. In church on Sunday, at the fifth part, we ended his role in empowering us and started on the topic of communication. And we want to start from there in this sixth part. Please let's turn in our Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. This verse of scripture is popularly known as the grace. And I'll read. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." Paul ending his second letter to the church at Corinth emphasized these three things about the Trinity. God the Father loves us so much, so the love of God. And that love made him to give us his son Jesus. And Jesus coming, dying for us, gave us the grace, unmerited favor, to have things that we do not deserve. Our sins that we deserve to die for, he took away. The blessings that we do not deserve, he has given us. And the third is the communion of the Holy Spirit. So the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, can be real to us as believers through our communion with the Holy Spirit. Don't forget, God the Father is on the throne in heaven. God the Son, dear Jesus Christ, is seated at his right hand with him on the throne. It is the Holy Spirit that we have here on earth, and it is our communion with the Holy Spirit that helps us to benefit from the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is communion? Like we said in part 5, communion is an English word that came from the Greek word koinonia. Koinonia. And what it means, one definition of communion is a close relationship with someone in which feelings and thoughts are exchanged. Close relationship with the Holy Spirit, during which feelings and thoughts are exchanged. In other words, our feelings and our thoughts can be communicated to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can communicate back to us his feeling and his thoughts. It's a two-way exchange. We speak to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And so we, in part 5, went through how we can speak to the Holy Spirit in worship, in prayer. By prayer, I mean personal prayer, intercession, and also in spiritual warfare. And lastly, in conversation. And we encourage us that we should not limit our communication with the Holy Spirit to our closet time when we are worshiping or praying. We can converse with the Holy Spirit at any time in our car, while driving, in the public transport, in the kitchen, in the bathroom, on the dining table, in the garden, at work, in the board meeting, in the class, in the exam hall. At all times, we can communicate with the Holy Spirit at any time, at any place, about anything. And so, in this part six, we want to consider how the Holy Spirit communicates with us, or better still, what the Holy Spirit communicates with us. That is the Holy Spirit speaking to us, and we'll be mentioning 10 things that the Holy Spirit communicates with us, what he communicates with us. 10 of such things we'll be going through. And let's kick off the first. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Romans chapter 8 verse 16. The Bible says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our own spirit that we are the children of God. So the first thing the Holy Spirit communicates with us, which we want to consider, is he communicates to us assurance of salvation. Assurance of salvation. Many times when an unbeliever firstly gives his heart to the Lord Jesus, he's not sure he's born again. I'm sure many of you have seen before some people who are Christians. Every time they hear the gospel message, they come out to give their heart to the Lord Jesus again and again. A number of times I've had to meet people individually and say, you came out last week. You came out last month. You are saved. What such people lack is assurance of salvation. And so one thing the Holy Spirit does to us, one thing he says to us, is assuring you that you are saved. This scripture again, Romans 8 verse 16 says, the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In other words, that we are born again. And so one thing that the Holy Spirit does for you and me is to assure us, oh, you are saved. Your sins are forgiven. Your name is written in the book of life. The second thing the Holy Spirit communicates with us is revelation. Revelation. The Holy Spirit reveals to us. Let me read three verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11. 1 Corinthians 2, 9, 10, and 11. But it is written, I has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. This passage is emphasizing the fact that nobody can know the mind of God except the Spirit of God, except the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God, knows the thoughts of God, knows the plans of God. No wonder the Bible says in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, God telling us, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. So the Holy Spirit knows the heart, knows the mind, knows the feelings, knows the will of God, and is the one who is better placed to communicate that mind of God to us. So one thing the Lord reveals to us is the mind of God. Another is he reveals what we do not know. God is omniscient. He knows many things we do not know. You know what you see. You know what you hear. So you don't know what is happening thousands of kilometers away where your loved ones are. You are at home, you may not know what is happening in your workplace. You are at work, you may not know what is happening to your family at home. No wonder the Bible says in Jeremiah 33 verse 3, it says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. So God, the Holy Spirit, one of his roles is revelation, communicating the mind of God, communicating what we do not know. Third, under revelation, is telling us things to come. Telling us things to come. John chapter 16. I'm sure you will have seen in this series of studies that when you want to hear about the Holy Spirit in the Gospels, you read John chapter 14 and John chapter 16. So John chapter 16 verse 13. John chapter 16 verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Things to come. What will be happening in future? What will be happening when you travel? What will be happening when you move to another town? What will be happening tomorrow? The Holy Spirit can give you an idea. So he reveals what otherwise you will not know. We are talking about the Holy Spirit speaking to us. We have talked about assurance of salvation. We have talked about revelation. Number three is direction. Revelation is just giving you a body of knowledge. Direction is now showing you the way to go. Romans chapter 8 verse 14. Romans chapter 8 verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. As many as are directed, led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The height of Christian maturity is to be able to hear God and follow his leading. Two words were translated sons of God. There is Acts chapter 1 verse 12, which says to as many, no, John chapter 1 verse 12, as many as received him, to them he gave the power or authority to be called sons of God. So son of God is mentioned there. The son of God mentioned there is the Greek word technon. But here in Romans chapter 8 verse 14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The Greek word translated son in Romans 8 is different. It is heos, H-E-O-U-S. That in John chapter 1 talks about a child, a son, as produced. As many as received him, to them he gave this right, the authority to be called son of God. You are now born as a child of God. But here in Romans chapter 8 verse 14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. The word sons of God here, heos, means son by character. John is son as produced. Romans is John by behavior, by character. So how we know that you are a child of God is if you are led by God. You have the character, the characteristics of the God in which you are the son of, if you are led by him. And so, one way that the Holy Spirit helps us is to give us direction. This is the way to go, especially when you are at a crossroad. You are divided between two or three opinions. Each of the ways looks nice. You don't know which one you should take. You are confused. That's when you should lean on the Holy Spirit, asking him, dear Lord, Holy Spirit, please grant me direction. Number four, the Holy Spirit teaches us. John chapter 14, verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He will teach you all things. Teaching means letting you know how to do what you don't know how to do. So he will teach you. The Holy Spirit is the best teacher. Are you a student? Whatever level, primary, secondary, tertiary, postgraduate, professional, the Holy Spirit can teach you. He can help you to give you the knowledge beyond your teachers. Can give you wisdom that no one will be able to withstand or gainsay. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. Jesus said this also in Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Luke 12, verse 12. He says, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. So the Holy Spirit teaches. Number five. The Holy Spirit reminds. I will go over this scripture we have just read, chapter 14 of John, verse 26. Chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So the Holy Spirit reminds. I don't know whether you have experienced this before. There's something you used to know, but now you have forgotten it. At such time, what you say is, Holy Spirit, I've forgotten this. Please, can you remind me? You are in the exam hall, and a question comes, and they ask, you knew you were taught. You knew you read this. You knew it, but now you have forgotten. The Bible says, it will bring to your remembrance. So you can ask the Holy Spirit, what is the formula? Is it times XY or times X? What should I do? Or something is missing and you need it urgently. You don't know where it is. You have moved from one house to another. You are missing an important document. You don't know where it is. If you pray, dear Holy Spirit, please, where did I put this document? Lord, please, where is this missing document? It will bring to your remembrance. Just go to that shelf, the third drawer, under the file, that's where you kept it. So the Holy Spirit reminds. So if you're a student and you are listening to me, make the Holy Spirit your helper. He will remind you. He will teach you. I've said five things that the Holy Spirit communicates with us. One, assurance of salvation. Two, revelation. Three, direction. Four, teaching. And number five, reminding. We go to number six. And I will, for that, please let's go to John chapter 16. We'll read verses 7 and 8. John's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So the sixth thing the Holy Spirit communicates to us is he convicts us. Convicting makes you know you are wrong. Many times, for many people, including me at times, I do some things because I think they are right. But if you have communion, close relationship with the Holy Spirit, when you are wrong, he will let you know you are wrong. And one major way through which the Holy Spirit convicts is to convict a sinner, somebody who is not born again, somebody who is The Bible describes him as wicked because he doesn't know God, he doesn't want God, he does everything God tells him not to do. He's a disobedient person. Do you have such a person close to you, your relative, a member of your family, a friend, a colleague at work, a co-student, who is deep in sin and who doesn't know? You are not a convictor. You can only preach. You can only counsel. You can only pray. It is the Holy Spirit that can convict. Especially for those who are very religious people. It serves no purpose arguing with them. Because they think they are right. They are self-righteous. I was like that. I was born into a Christian family. My parents were pastors. And I didn't know the Lord Jesus. Went to school. I laughed when I heard for the first time in school that you needed to be born again. I said, they are not talking to people like us. We have been born again from home. I've gone to church since I was 2 years. I never missed church. What do you mean? It is for people like you. We are... I was sincerely wrong. And I was like that until I graduated, until I got married, wallowing in my self-righteousness without having Christ. But one day in a meeting like this, this short preacher was preaching. I don't know the topic, but I remember the scripture. John chapter 3, verse 3. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And where I was in the congregation, the Holy Spirit arrested me. The Holy Spirit started talking to me from that scripture. He didn't say, except you are born by a pastor. He didn't say, except you go to church. He didn't say, except you preach or you are a worker in church. He said, verily, verily, certainly, certainly, I say unto you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God, not to talk of entering it. There and then, the Holy Spirit convicted me. While I was sitting there and I was arguing, I'm the son of a pastor, founder of a church, the Holy Spirit said to me, I have no grandchildren. Because your parents are born again doesn't mean you are born again. You need to decide your relationship with me personally. I left my seat, came out, and gave my heart to the Lord Jesus. I've had sermons before then. I've had friends who were in school for 4 years who were SUs. I wasn't convicted until one day the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Are you listening to me today? You are a churchgoer. You bear a Christian name like I used to bear. Yet, you do not know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for your sin. You are still in sin. You have not asked Jesus to come and take control of your life. You have not accepted him as Lord and Savior. Today is the day of your salvation. Right now, can you just bow down your head if you are ready to pray? The prayer of salvation. Say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept I'm a sinner. And I cannot save myself. Dear Jesus, you died for my sin. Please forgive me. Come into my heart. Come and be my Lord and my Savior. Please keep me to the end. In Jesus' name I pray. Let me pray with you. Lord, I thank you for my brother and my sister who today have given their heart to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for convicting them. I ask their Lord that you will please keep them. Give them your Holy Spirit to help them to relate with God the Father and God the Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we continue to number 7. The Holy Spirit rebukes. Rebuke is to tell you what you have done wrong. And many times it does that through the scriptures. It just brings the Bible to your remembrance. For example, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, that is rebuke, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. The Holy Spirit is the one that can rebuke. He will let you know when you have done something wrong. And number 8, the Holy Spirit corrects. Rebuke is tell you what you have done wrong. Correct tells you what you should do the next time, how best you can do it. I remember many years ago, in the area where I lived, the Landlords and Residents Association were meeting on the last Saturday. And I didn't go for the meeting. Usually on the last Saturday, there's environmental sanitation. Nobody leaves the house up to 9 a.m. So we use that opportunity to meet in the neighborhood. But I didn't go that day. And so after their meeting, they came to my house, knocked the gate, and somebody in the house told them I was not available. Unfortunately, the person said I was praying. They came back after that, after I went through the street, came back about 1 hour, and that they said they want to see daddy. That person said I was still praying. So they started ranting at the gate. Is he the only Christian? Anyway, what was he praying to? So when I finished, I was told that this is what they said. So I made up my mind, they should go with their bicycle. I'm not playing with them. In other words, since you didn't tell me you were coming, didn't I have the liberty to do what I wanted to do in my house? So if you have said bad things about me, go your way, I will go my way. That night I was praying. Normally, my normal time of praying. And as I was praying, I had the scripture. I'm talking of 1993 now, 27 years ago. The servant of the Lord must not strive. The servant of the Lord must not strive. I wasn't praying about what happened in the morning, but the Holy Spirit was telling me, and I said, calm down. God said, you're a servant of God. You don't fight with people. So the following day, I phoned those people and I apologized to them and we reconciled. What am I saying? The Holy Spirit rebuked me and corrected me using the scriptures. I will take numbers 9 and 10 together. Let me go verse numbers 1 to 8. Number 1, the Holy Spirit gives us assurance of salvation. Number 2, the Holy Spirit grants us revelation. Number 3, the Holy Spirit grants us direction. Number 4, the Holy Spirit teaches us. Number 5, the Holy Spirit reminds us. Number 6, the Holy Spirit convicts us. Number 7, the Holy Spirit rebukes us. Number 8, the Holy Spirit corrects us. Number 9, the Holy Spirit comforts us. Acts 9 verse 31. Acts 9 verse 31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria at peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Don't forget, the word translated helper in Authorized King James was translated comforter. So I would like to take the last two together. Comfort and encourage. The last one, the tenth, is encourage. The Holy Spirit comforts you and encourages you. When you are in distress, when you are sad, when you are down, when you are discouraged, that's when the Holy Spirit steps in to comfort you in a very personal way, in a relevant way. The word comforter or helper there is the Greek word paraklet. So another comforter is allos parakletos. Paraklet, like I said in an earlier part, is somebody in the Palestinian culture. When somebody is taken to court in the open space and they allege you have done this, from that place, if the people, the jury or the Sanhedrin finds him guilty, they take him from there outside the fence to kill him straight away. So a paraclete is somebody who comes in when everybody has given evidence against him to say, I know this man. He's not a thief. I've known him for 25 years. There was a time I forgot 100,000 and he saw it, he gave it to me. This person is not a thief. He could not have stolen 5,000. And based on the strength of the paraclete, his integrity and what he has said, the man will be freed. So the Holy Spirit is the one that comes in when everybody has forsaken us to say, this is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. Comfort of the Holy Spirit. He also encourages us and gives us joy that wine cannot give. Joy that hard drugs cannot give. My brother, my sister, ladies and gentlemen, you need to commune with the Holy Spirit. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. God bless you.